You are now listening to the First Baptist Church of America's podcast. If you have any questions about our church, please check us out online at fbcamericas.org. This week we are continuing our journey through John's Gospel with the message, Seeing the Resurrection of Jesus by Faith, from John chapter 20, verses 1 through 10. Let's listen in.
Amen. My Lord, what a morning. What was that morning like? What will that morning be like when he comes again? Because Jesus lives, we can live, and we do live. For the last couple of weeks, we've been in a metaphorical tunnel. As we've been talking about the crucifixion and the death and the burial of Jesus, he was crucified, dead, and buried. But today, we come out of the darkness of that tunnel into the glorious, wonderful brightness of hope because of the resurrection in John 20. And we've treated this morning kind of like a second Easter, singing about the resurrection. And why shouldn't we? Why shouldn't we do that? When we were in Russia, the Sons of Jubal, every church that we went in had a big sign up across the front, He is risen. And so that fact should affect every day of our lives, that Jesus is risen. Therefore, I can walk and live this day in the hope of his resurrection. And if we don't have that hope, then we're pitied and we're to be pitied. Well, accepting the resurrection of Jesus requires faith. It requires belief in the supernatural. But it also requires faith in just the natural, just natural evidence. The resurrection of Jesus is the belief that sets Christianity apart from all other religions. There have been many religious leaders down through the centuries and ages, and you can go and visit their graves today because those graves have been venerated by someone who said those sites are holy because of the person buried there. But that's the point. The bodies of all of those religious leaders are still there in their graves. There's only one empty tomb, and that is the tomb of Jesus Christ. His tomb is empty. The angel said, "He is not here, for he is risen." And that empty grave validates everything Jesus said about himself, and it proves that God accepted the death of Jesus as payment for the sin of the world, which means he accepted the debt of Jesus, your sin and my sin, and it was paid in the death of Jesus Christ. God has accepted it. And there is no evidence anywhere that the tomb of Jesus was memorialized. You don't find it in Scripture. You don't find it in any other literature. There's no evidence that Jesus' tomb was memorialized because the tomb is empty. In fact, it would be over 300 years later. Now, just think about how long 300 years is when you think about our nation. But over 300 years later, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre was built over what might have been the place where Jesus' tomb was. No one knows for sure because the early Christians, they didn't see the need to memorialize his tomb. Why? Because they still had Jesus. They still had him with them. He was in them through his Holy Spirit. Tim Keller said that his wife helped him understand why memorializing the tomb of Jesus wasn't an important issue in that day. She said, "You can put your baby's first shoes in a drawer, but as long as you have the baby's shoes don't mean much. It's only when you lose your baby that you keep getting those baby shoes out and weeping over them. When you have the baby's shoes and not the baby, the shoes help you feel connected to what you've lost." That's why we still go back to graves to visit, because there's a sense of separation. But the early Christians had such a sense of the reality of Jesus in them that his tomb meant nothing. And we don't even know where it is for sure. Do you have that same sense of reality? The same sense of reality? Do you believe in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead? And if you do, what difference does that belief make in the life that you live every day? What difference does that belief make? Seeing is not necessarily believing, but believing comes by how we see something. It's how we see it, the level to which we see it. On occasion, Judy will say, "Would you go to the pantry and look in there and bring me a can of cream of chicken soup?" For example, I mean, maybe other things, and it has been other things, and this happens quite regularly. Probably happens in your house too. She says, "Would you bring me a can of chicken soup?" And I go to the closet, open it up, and I glance it there, and I say, "We don't have any." And she'll say, "Are you sure? Look again." And I say, "We don't have any. I looked. If it's there, I will eat it, can and all." And then she will come, she'll look in the closet and observe the contents there, and she will reach in, pull out the can and put it in front of me, and she'll say, "Start eating." And this happens all the time. And then at that point, I will see the can of cream of chicken soup, and I have perceived the truth. So in that little episode, there was a glance. There was observing that Judy does, and then there was perceiving that she helped me to understand. Glancing, observing, perceiving. And in this passage about the resurrection, we see those three things. Glancing at the evidence, observing the evidence, and finally perceiving the evidence. Saving faith comes by perceiving the reality of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. To perceive the reality of his death and his resurrection. Well, our passage is John 20, 1 through 10. Nancy has already read it. All four gospel writers tell us about the resurrection, each emphasizing a little different details about the resurrection. But all of them proclaim that Jesus rose from the dead. He was dead, but he rose from the dead. And John tells us that Mary Magdalene went to the tomb very early on that Sunday morning. Now Mary, along with some other women, if we look at the other accounts, but John just mentions Mary. Mary went perhaps to finish what Joseph and Nicodemus hurried to do Friday evening before the Sabbath began, and that is to prepare Jesus' body for burial. So as Mary is approaching the tomb, she sees that it is open. The stone that was closing the entrance had been rolled back. First century tombs had a low opening with a round disc, a stone disc that was in a trench that would slope downward. So the stone would just roll over the opening and close it. And these tombs were made to be reopened to be reused for other family members. It would be a ventilation shaft. And after a year or so, after the body had decayed, they would go in and collect the bones and then place them with ancestors. That's why in the Old Testament, when you read, he was buried with his, or he rested with his fathers. They would go in, collect the bones, and put them in a box all together. They would rest with their fathers. And so Mary saw that tomb open. It shouldn't have been opened this quick after his burial. And when she saw that, she assumed that someone had taken the body. And so she runs to tell Peter and John. Notice that Peter is still seen as a leader in spite of his failure and his denial of Jesus. John never mentions his own name in his gospel, but he's the other disciple in verse 2. So John mentions that he outran Peter to the tomb, probably because John was younger of the two. So what did Peter and John see that convinced them of Jesus' resurrection? Something in that tomb made them believe. What was it? John uses three different words for seeing or looking. And the difference in those words might explain why some people expect or accept the truth about Jesus while others don't. And that is that they fail to see the truth. They failed to see it. And so, three words that we'll look at: glancing, observing, and perceiving. The first one is glancing. Verse 5, he bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but he did not go in. So John got to the tomb first. He went to the opening and looked in. The word for look there means to glance at something, kind of like men do when they look in a pantry. It's just a quick glance, just a look in there. Now remember, this would have been a low opening, so you would have to stoop to go into it. So John stooped and he glanced in, but he didn't enter. And I can imagine that he kind of stooped and looked in and stood up, and maybe just to ponder what he saw, why the strips of linen were still there, but the body of Jesus was not there. And so we know that John didn't remain in the doorway because Peter went right in for a look. There'd be no way for Peter to get in if John is there because the opening is small. So Peter got there and he went in for a closer look. He stepped inside and he went in for something more than a glance. And the second word is observing. Verse 6, then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. The word looked in verse 5 means to glance, but the word saw in verse 6 means to observe. Peter saw the same thing that John did, but he's looking a little deeper. He went a step further and entered the tomb, and he is observing the evidence. He is observing what he is seeing there. He's studying what he's looking at. Now, the tomb would have had a shelf cut out of the stone wall, so there's a shelf there on which the body of Jesus should have been. But there on that shelf were only the strips of linen lying there, along with the cloth that wrapped Jesus' head. Now notice the details that Peter observed. The strips of linen were lying there and the head cloth, but the cloth was separate from the linen. So there was a gap between them. The cloth around the head was separate from the linen strips. So John glanced, Peter went further and observed, and then John went still further and perceived, and it hit him. Do you ever have things that just hit you and you say, oh, yes? Well, the third word is perceiving, verse 8. Finally, the other disciple, that was John, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. Now remember, John is giving us his own eyewitness testimony. He is telling us what he saw with his own eyes. And this is the kind of seeing that ignites faith. John perceived the evidence in front of him, and he became aware of the truth of what he saw, and he suddenly believed that Jesus had risen from the dead just by what he saw. No one, see, saw Jesus standing in an open door of a tomb with backlighting flashing and smoke coming out of the hole and him walking forth with his hands held out. No one saw that because it didn't happen that way. Matthew is the most dramatic of all, and he says there was an earthquake and an angel came down and was sitting on the stone that had been rolled away. But Jesus had already risen at that point. See, Jesus rose from the dead quietly. So John didn't get a without a doubt spectacle that convinced him to believe. You and I don't get that either. So what did John perceive that made him believe? The same thing Peter saw and believed. It was the grave clothes and the way those grave clothes were lying on that shelf. See, John mentions the strips of linen and the headcloth 5 times in verses 5-7. So he wants us to see the significance of those grave clothes 5 times. They were still there. Now, if Jesus wasn't dead when they put him in the tomb, as some have claimed through the years, that he just swooned or he fainted, and when they put him in the grave, the coolness of the ground kind of revived him, and he just stood up. That couldn't happen. Remember Joseph and Nicodemus wrapped his body with the linen cloths, with myrrh and aloes, and all of those spices would have stuck together like glue. And so if Jesus had stood up, having revived himself, or the coolness revived him, and he stood up, those grave clothes would have stuck to him, and they would not have been lying on that shelf undisturbed. So that couldn't have happened. Some have said grave robbers stole the body of Jesus, but do you think grave robbers would take the time to unwrap the linen from around Jesus? No, they would just take the body and the linen and everything. And they surely wouldn't take the time to try to rearrange it to look like Jesus was there. Why would they do that anyway? Well, the Romans didn't take the body of Jesus because Pilate had already sealed the tomb and guarded it against from anyone taking the body. And for that reason, the disciples didn't take the body of Jesus. And the Jews certainly didn't take it because they would want the body as evidence that Jesus was a liar and a deceit. And to this day, they have not presented that body as evidence that Jesus was a hoax. So all of that evidence, an empty tomb, Jesus' body was gone, undisturbed strips of linen and a head cloth in the outline of a body, just as they were when they were wrapped around the body of Jesus lying on that shelf. The word for lying here means to be lying in an orderly way. The grave clothes were completely undisturbed. No one took them off of Jesus and tried to put them back, to refold them or rewrap them or re-roll them. Do you see what John saw? That Jesus passed through the grave clothes when he was resurrected, and they remained just as they were, with the exception that Jesus was not in them. Like a collapsed chrysalis when a butterfly flies away. And you say, oh, preacher, are you asking me to believe that Jesus passed through grave clothes? Is that any harder to believe than the fact that Jesus rose from the dead? I took a head-size balloon and I wrapped it in strips of cloth. And I didn't bring it with me this morning because it looked like a head wrapped in cloth. It did. And in this experiment and in this illustration, I wanted you to see what John saw. So when I deflated the balloon, this is what was left. And I even tried to take this and rewrap it. And it is very, very difficult to do. I couldn't get it to look just like this. And so when Jesus rose from the dead, he passed through the grave clothes that were there, and that's why they were still lying on the shelf. And when John saw that, it hit him. There's no other way to explain this than Jesus rose from the dead. John saw and believed. Do you perceive in your mind, not just glancing, not just observing, but do you perceive that Jesus Christ rose from the dead? Don't wait until you understand that to believe it, because you'll never believe it. Verse 9 says, they still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Understanding may come later, but don't wait until you understand to believe. You're not saved by your understanding. You're saved by your belief in what Jesus has done. So examine the evidence and believe. Now, people today, you and I, we can't examine the evidence that John saw and was led to believe. We can't do that because that evidence is long gone. But there is still evidence that people can observe, that they can see. Creation. Just look around. Just notice creation and the cycle of life and death and life. Creation, all of creation. God's Word is evidence. It's written that we might believe. But then the evidence of Christians. Now, there unbelievers may see Christians and take a glance at Christians. Say, oh, there's those Christians, they're doing their own thing. Some of those might take a step closer and might even come inside. Maybe you're one of those and you're observing a little bit closer of the evidence. But then there are those that will perceive Jesus in us. See, we become evidence. We become that natural evidence that can lead people to faith and lead them to believe. I asked earlier if you believe in the resurrection, and if so, what difference does that make in your life? The difference is that Christ is living through you, and you are the hope that people see. And if you're living without hope, then you're a poor witness for Jesus. But if we are living out our lives in the hope of the resurrection in Jesus, then we are that evidence that might lead someone to belief. Your despair becomes hope. So if you're a believer in the resurrection, you should not be in despair. You should not live in negativity. You shouldn't be grumpy all the time. Well, maybe you're still grumpy, but less grumpy than you were last year. See, we are changing. We are being changed. So the challenge today, if you don't believe, examine the evidence. And if you do believe, then live like it and be the evidence that could lead someone else to belief. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this word. I thank you for the resurrection. I thank you for the hope that it gives us. And Lord, I pray that you would forgive us when our eyes are focused on this world that is dying. But may our eyes be turned upward to you. And then, Lord, with our eyes focused on you, then we can handle the things of this world, because we know that they are temporary. They're temporary. Even the worst of this world is temporary. So, Lord, thank you for the resurrection. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for taking the initiative to save us. Now, Lord, would you lead us to believe and then to live acting on that belief? We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. And if you would like to know more about the evidence that you can examine in Christ Jesus, we would love to help you out with that. You can find our contact information in the show notes down below, or you can find it on our website at fbcamericas.org. And tune in next week as we continue our journey through John's Gospel.